Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Stephen Binns. Stephen, welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio.
Thank you, Rick. It's great to be with you.
Stephen, did I say your last name right? I see it's spelled B-I-N-Z.
That's right, Binns.
Binns, very good. Stephen, if you'd be so kind to lead our listening audience in a word of prayer, I'm sure we'd all be grateful.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit of God, move within us and among us during this time. Bless us as we seek to do your work. Wherever we're going today, be with us, guide us along your path so that we may truly be missionary disciples of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stephen, the reason why I wanted to have you on and chat a little bit on Orange County Catholic Radio is because of a book that you wrote that's coming out. I don't even think it's out just yet. I think it's on its in the process of coming out on St. Junipero Serra's Camino. It's not quite out yet.
It is out.
Oh, good.
It is out, and it's available. It's ready to go.
I was looking through this, and it's not only a neat little book on Junipero Serra, and it's also a guide to all the California missions, and is written in a way that looks like it's very user-friendly. And as I opened the book, the very first thing that you read into are statements of praise from Reverend Jose Gomez, Archbishop of Los Angeles, from Kevin Vann, Bishop of Orange, and from several other bishops up and down the state. And I guess from what I understand in talking with you a little bit, you've written several books, and you also lead a number of retreats and things. Stephen, if you were to describe what you do, how would you describe it? Who is Stephen Binns?
Yes. Well, yes, I'm a speaker and a writer. My primary field of study and what I work on the most is biblical studies. So I try to work in the academic field, but also bridge that with the pastoral life of people, which is a wonderful challenge that I feel like I've been given. You know, ever since the council, when the church challenged the Catholic Church to open wide the scriptures for all the people of God, I feel like that's what my life has been about, doing my own small little part in that great mission of the church, bringing the Bible to God's people, particularly Roman Catholics, as we struggle not only to know the Bible, but to know how the Bible and God's Word transforms us as disciples of Jesus. That's basically what my life is about. So about half of my time is spent here in my home office, researching and reading and writing, and I have about 50 books in print. About half of them belong to a series called Threshold Bible Study. Threshold Bible Study is a Catholic Bible study, thematic and book-by-book study that can be used by individuals or in small groups and parishes and communities. So the other half of my life is spent out on the road. I do a lot of speaking at various conferences, religious education events. I'll be at the Los Angeles Congress. And then a lot of parish work, too, giving talks and missions and retreats and that sort of thing, primarily on the Bible.
It sounds like you've had quite a dedicated life of service to Christ.
That's a great gift and a calling, yes.
Let me go back for a little bit then and ask you, what got you involved so much in wanting to dedicate your life to the academic study and the teaching and sharing of Christ with others?
Well, I think it began early in my life with hints in high school, but then in college, I went to a Catholic college, the University of Dallas, liberal arts community, and started taking theology courses. And I took my first course, Introduction to the Bible, by the great professor Peter Fahn, who's at Georgetown now. And he hooked me on the Bible. And from that time on, I knew that I really wanted to focus on the scriptures. And then I went on to do graduate work in biblical studies and have been doing that work ever since, working with Catholic Publishing, a variety of different publishers. And then the last few years, I've gotten into Catholic pilgrimages, going to the Holy Land and other sacred places with groups of people.
I saw, I think, on a website you've got out, or someone's got out on you, the tagline, life is short, take a retreat. I think that was pretty good. Make a pilgrimage.
Yeah. Take a pilgrimage,
there
yes.
You go.
I find that lots of people go on my pilgrimage of all different ages, but unfortunately some people wait until they're in their 80s and maybe close to 90 until they get an opportunity to go to the Holy Land. So I recommend that you do it now.
Now,
do it now.
What triggered me in wanting to talk with you wasn't just the fact that you are a leader in sharing Catholic faith so effectively through your books and through your retreats, but specifically your book on St. Junipero Serra, and the title of it is St. Junipero Serra's Camino. What prompted you to want to focus on St. Serra?
As soon as Pope Francis announced that he was going to canonize St. Serra, I knew about St. Serra vaguely, or Junipero Serra, the great Franciscan missionary of California, through Serra International, you know, through that promotes vocation to priesthood and religious life, and also through some of the California missions. But I didn't know much about him as a person. So what I did is somehow I felt called to start reading about his life. I read the most important biographies of his life, both done several decades ago, but some very fine biographies done in the past 3 or 4 years. So that led me then to get to know him more through the original documentation and to be able to sort of discern his missionary life in opposition to some of the flack that was being given by the media during the time of his canonization about how he was part of the colonial process and ruining the life of the Native Americans. I started realizing that's it's very important for us to make critical historical distinctions about his life and the life of the missionaries up against the whole wide expanse of the colonial expansion into California.
And I do want to make sure that we have time to go into some of those controversies because they are important. I'm kind of curious, though. You chose to go for Junipero Serra at a time when you had all this flack going back and forth. Did you have an agenda, a bias, an idea, a direction that you wanted to go to, that you found you were able to go to, or did you find yourself taken a little bit differently than even you thought?
Well, I think my attraction was the fact that he was going to be the new American saint. And so after reading the biographies, I started, I went out to California, which I've done several times in the last few years working on this book. But I took a personal pilgrimage to all 21 missions, going from San Diego all the way up to Sonoma. Stopping each one, I did 2 or 3 a day, and doing photography, which I love. I'm a serious photographer as well as a writer, and just absorbed it all. And I think that the reason why Pope Francis decided to canonize Saint Serra and why he chose to do it now is because he is a wonderful model of missionary discipleship. You know, a wonderful guide and intercessor for the new evangelization, which is what we are to be about in the church in our day. You know, the what we receive from the Second Vatican Council and the church in the 20th century is two callings. First, the call, the universal call to holiness, and second, the universal call to mission. So we are to be a people who are holy and also missionary. And we've, each one of us as disciples of Jesus, as Catholics, have to figure out how we are going to respond to that call in our own lives. And so Serra is a wonderful example of how that was done in the Americas in the 18th century. Of course, we wouldn't do it in quite the same ways today. We have all sorts of new media and different ways of evangelizing in our day. But the same spirit that was present in St. Serra, which gave him a deep desire to go to New Spain and eventually into Alta California to establish these missions, the same spirit, the evangelizing missionary spirit of St. Sarah, is the kind of desire and spirit that we are called to have today.
It sounds certainly like you found an echo or a kindred spirit in Sarah, based on what I've heard of your life.
Yes, very much so. Sarah was a Franciscan, you know. First he was a disciple of Jesus, and that was primary in his life, being a missionary disciple. He was also a son of St. Francis of Assisi, and we can see that in his life in so many ways. His desire for mission is the evangelizing desire, and also his seeking holiness in his life, his desire to imitate Jesus, and also his love for creation, for the created world, is very much present in his life. And that's what I think one of the reasons that gave him such a kinship and affinity with the native peoples of this land. Because, well, in this book, I have a chapter on Native American spirituality.
When we come back from this break, because I'm hearing the music start up, we're going to explore that, because I do want to ask you about the life of Sarah and how that's affected you. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Stephen Binns. And Stephen has been talking with us a little bit about his new book, St. Junipero Serra's Camino, which is a pilgrimage guide to the California missions. And Stephen, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, talking about, first of all, your life story, but also a little bit about how it echoes with St. Junipero Serra's. You were mentioning that the call that we have from the Second Vatican Council, as well as the echo of that call from our beloved Holy Father Francis, is to both have a universal call to holiness, but also to a call to mission. And you've tried to live your life doing that with books and with your pilgrimages. And I'm kind of curious, what were some of the key features of St. Junipero Serra's life story that really stood out for you that you think perhaps most people who are listening should really hear or know about St. Sarah?
Yes. Junipero Serra was from Mallorca, an island off the coast of Spain, which was a launching pad for many missionaries to the Americas in the 17th, 18th century, the Spanish mission. Junipero Serra is an interesting character in the sense that he didn't begin his missionary life until midlife. I think he was 35 or so, which was, you know, getting older in those days. But he had a very successful career as in academia. He was a professor of philosophy and theology there. He was rising in the Franciscan order and could have had a very comfortable and prestigious life there. But he developed within his heart a missionary calling, you know, the call to, as Pope Francis says so often, the call to the fringes, you know, to the periphery, that call to go out to those who are in need. And in the 18th century, for Europeans, this was seen as the call to the new world, to people who had never heard the gospel before. And this so intrigued Junipero and was so set on his heart by God and God's Holy Spirit that he made that arduous journey to Mexico, Mexico City, which was the capital of New Spain at the time. Spent some time there at the missionary seminary there. Spent some time on mission in what is Mexico today. And then was eventually called to be the father president of the new mission to Alta California, the present-day state of California. And so I've fallen in love with this beautiful state, California, and with your great founding father, Junipero Serra, the new American saint. And it's just thrilled me to follow in the footsteps of this great man, to absorb some of the spirit of his own life into my own. And now through this book, hopefully to share that with others. You know, not just information, but as you'll see in this book, a kind of a spirit of discipleship and the missionary drive that was in Serra's heart, the same kind of call to missionary discipleship that we are called to today.
I am thinking a little bit about the comment you made when you were deciding to even begin looking at Junipero Serra and the controversies that were brought up about some of the alleged abuses that took place at the time of the founding of the missions. What did you find out about those issues and those accusations when you were doing your research for this book?
Well, I knew that if I wanted to really know the life of Junipero Serra and how he can be a model of missionary discipleship today and the new American saint, I had to deal with that question, you know, which has been raised by so many in the media. So I went to the original sources. I went back to history. I went back to the biographies that have been written about Serra, which contain many of the original letters and correspondence of Serra and those immediately during and after his life who wrote about him. And, well, first of all, I would say that I discovered that Serra had a deep love for the natives of this land. And that's what impelled him. You know, that's what drove him on, a deep love for these people, people who were not only, you know, deprived of the gospel, but also had a rich and beautiful way of life that was so attractive to many. And so Serra wasn't out to destroy that former way of life or even that deep spirituality within them, but to bring them to completion. You know, and we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving gospel, the word, is the greatest gift that anyone can give to another. And that's what drove Serra on. But, and so first of all, you know, the historical person of Junipero Serra had a deep love for the Native Americans, and he always defended them. He defended them primarily against the Spanish military and the Spanish colonizers, not all of whom were out to, you know, to harm the Native Americans, but many of them did in one way or another. And so throughout Serra's biography, we see him arguing, writing letters to the viceroy and to the military governors of California, urging protection of the Native Americans and urging various ways of defending the human rights of the Native Americans. So I think it's important then to distinguish his life from the whole colonial effort of the Europeans coming to this land and the kind of destruction that came in many forms to the Native life. I think that, well, two things primarily that were most destructive. First of all is the diseases, the European-born diseases that struck the missions and many of the native peoples of this land. Serra had no understanding of that. No one did in those days, and no understanding that the missions and the Europeans were causing this. You know, he cared for those who got ill as best they could and carried on. The other thing is that the real devastation of the native population came after the age of the missions. You know, in the 1840s, the 49ers and the gold rush and the colonial movement and the settlers that came to California, in the next 10 to 20 years, the native population of California dropped by 80%, some by the continuation of the European-born diseases, but also because of murder and killing off the native population, sometimes even supported by local laws, federal laws, when California became one of the states of the Union, and also before that, the Mexican law, which was after the Spanish had been expelled from this land. I'm not saying that Sarah or the missionaries were perfect in any way. Certainly there were abuses. But nevertheless, what is so shameful about what happened to the Native Americans in this land cannot be blamed on Sarah or the Franciscan missionaries.
I understand that in theory anyway, and you write about in your book, the missionaries followed the official instructions from Spain, which were published in the 1680s, so about 100 years before they even began their missionary work. And those instructions included the forbidding of forcing Native Americans to be forcibly converted, to be robbed, injured, and otherwise badly treated. Is that also true?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the Spanish missionizing effort was admirable in many ways. And as you say, in theory, you know, that was the plan. Of course, humanity being as it is, there are abuses. There were abuses among the missionaries, and also there were abuses particularly among the Spanish military. But nevertheless, from the king on through the Spanish government, the effort to colonize New Spain and eventually California was a rather noble effort, I have to say. What we have to realize is that Europeans were coming to this land no matter what. You know, the Europeans were on the way, whether it be the Spaniards or whether it be the Russians from the north or any variety, or the English, they were all coming. And so the Spanish method of colonization was to send the missionaries first to convert them to the faith, but also to accustomize them to European ways by teaching them agriculture, by teaching them all sorts of different crafts, whereby they could adapt to the new culture that was coming into the land. And hopefully then these missions, ideally under the Spaniards, the missions were to be returned to the Native Americans. All the land and the crops and the livestock, all of that was to become Native American property, to be given back to them after a time. And so the missionaries then would leave and go to other, you know, far-reaching lands, and indigenous populations would become the priests and the clergy that would serve the native populations of these lands. That didn't happen, unfortunately. There are lots of reasons we could talk about forever.
Well, Stephen, what I'd like to do is, when we come back, I want to ask a little bit more specifically about some of the missions themselves. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Stephen J. Binns, who is an author, and his latest book is on the California missions. We'll be exploring that more when we come back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Need an idea for summer vacation? Why not join Bishop Kevin Vann and Bishop Tim Fryer for a first-of-its-kind Catholic cruise from Long Beach to Ensenada, Mexico. You'll be entertained by acclaimed musician Francis Cabildo, music ministry director at Santa Margarita High School, and director of Christ Cathedral Music Ministries, Dr. John Romeri. You'll also have the blessed opportunity to celebrate Mass at the Cathedral in Ensenada. It's all happening July 21st to the 24th. For info, call Travel of Orange, 877-538-0010, occatholic.com/travel.
Travel.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope on the beautiful campus of Christ Cathedral here in beautiful Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. And with me today is Stephen Binns. And Stephen has been bravely talking with us about the life of Junipero Serra and confronting what Junipero Serra has been accused of without whitewashing, but trying to understand what really happened a little bit and in the context of what happened later, not necessarily even by the Spanish, but by those who came in the middle part of the 19th century, which is when the Native Americans were really decimated. Stephen, I want to thank you again for being with us, and I hope I didn't miscast that.
No, absolutely not.
I think we gave a pretty good thumbnail sketch of Junipero Serra and what his intentions were, but I don't think we really got into some of the details of the missions, especially the nine that he founded. Tell us a little bit, what were some of the things that really intrigued you when you started making your pilgrimages and getting ready to write about these missions?
Missions are beautiful places. As I said, I fell in love with California and your founding father, and each one of these missions are really a jewel in themselves. They differ so much. As you said, nine of them were founded by St. Serra himself, but it was his vision to found this whole string or ladder of missions up and down the coast. It goes from San Diego all the way up through San Francisco, up to the wine country in Sonoma. And so each one of them are different, and each one of them embodied the spirit, the missionary spirit of Serra himself. Of course, the oldest, the original, as most Californians know, is San Diego. I mentioned at the beginning of my book how going up and down the coast of California and reciting the names of all the cities and towns, San Francisco, Santa Barbara, San Diego, and on and on. They're all names of saints, and we don't think about that very much. But they originated with the missions. The missions were dedicated to particular saints, and that's an important part of my book too. In talking about the biography of the saint who both intercedes for the mission and is a model for each of the individual missions. San Diego is the first, the original. Called the Mother of the Missions, and it has its own unique charm. In talking about that, I talk about the early founding of the mission, and then I move into the mission church, giving a description of the church, and for each of these missions, then I give a prayer service, a scripture followed by a litany and followed by a prayer that the pilgrim can pray either on his or her own or with a pilgrimage group in the church itself.
The Mission San Diego is Mission San Diego de Ocala. Who was he, and why did this become named after him?
You know, it was he was a saint that was very much important in Franciscan history. He was born, I think, about 1400 in Spain, and he became a Franciscan brother, serving as a missionary in the Canary Islands, I believe. So he was well known among the Franciscans at the time, and so they wanted to name one of the missions after this very famous Franciscan brother.
So San Diego, the city, was named after this Franciscan saint, and the idea was to establish the first of the missions fully steeped in Franciscan spirituality.
That's right, yes, absolutely. A lot of these are Franciscan saints or saints associated in some way with the Franciscans. So, for example, San Juan Capistrano, you know, another Franciscan saint in the beautiful area of Orange County. San Juan Capistrano is one of my favorite places.
One of mine, too.
Probably one of the most popular missions, but I love the ruins of the old stone church and the bells there and the belfry, and then that beautiful chapel called St. Sarah's Chapel, which is the only place in California where that's still standing, where St. Serra himself celebrated the Mass. He used to go on these confirmation journeys. He would come along to all the baptized native folks and confirm them in the church.
I understand our own Bishop Van, one of his favorite places to go is to spend time praying right there where Junipero Serra said Mass.
Yes, I know Bishop Van very well. We go way back, and he loves the mission, particularly that chapel, the chapel of Saint Sarah. It's a beautiful place.
Okay. Moving up the coast a little bit further, what would be the next mission that comes to mind for you as being really just stands out?
You know, my favorite going up the coast, all way up the coast, actually, is Carmel. And there, if your listeners have a chance to go on pilgrimage up to that place, it's just a wonderful spirit there. Saint Sarah is buried there. Is where he lived most of his life as the father president of all of the missions, and it was his headquarters. And from there, he would go out to all the missions up and down the coast. I love the San Gabriel. There are three missions to the three archangels. We have San Gabriel and San Miguel and San Raphael, and so all the three archangels are represented in missions of their own. San Gabriel up in San Gabriel, California, is called the pride of the missions. All of these missions have their own unique kind of nicknames, you might say. Up in
North part of Los Angeles,
diocese, yeah. Yes, there's, Santa Barbara is a beautiful, wonderful place, the queen of the missions. There, Santa Barbara is the archives of the mission.
Oh, wow.
And they do wonderful work there in preserving the archives of all the missions for the Franciscan community.
So I take it if you wanted to do some historical research that Santa Barbara would be a place to get permission to look through their files and see what archives might tell you.
Yes, exactly. I think Santa Barbara has the most extensive archives of all. You know, it's interesting. I love the fact that music was such an important part of these missions. The Franciscan friars taught music to the Indians. They taught them a European note system so that they could chant the hymns, but also they taught them performance kind of music and you know, folk music and dancing music and all of that they would perform for one another. And a lot of these mission bands would go from one mission to another, entertaining one another. There's a wonderful story. I love this story. There's a barrel organ, which is an organ that plays itself sort of like a player piano, but it's a cylindrical roll that goes into the organ. And it was somehow, we don't know for sure, but we think it was given by an English sea captain to one of the Franciscan fathers. And he would take it out to the Indian territories and play it. And then some of the Christian Indians would come with him and sing along, and that would be a very attractive thing. And then the natives of that area would settle down and listen, and then they would listen to the gospel proclaimed after that. And there's a wonderful story that shows how during the mission days, when there are many Christian native peoples in the missions, there was a warring tribe that came from the mountains on down to the mission. And they were trying to defend themselves, and the pastor of the mission kept his wits about him and brought out this barrel organ and started playing, and all the Christian natives began to sing, and these warring tribes calmed down, they sat down, listened to the performance, and they wanted more and more. And so the music became a wonderful way of celebrating commonality and you might say a springboard for the gospel, as music has always been in the church.
That is a fantastic story. We only have about another minute left in this session, and then we'll come back and we can continue talking a little bit more about the missions themselves. Here in the Southern California area, then, we've also got not only Mission San Diego de Alcala, but there's another one in the San Diego area called San Luis Rey. That wasn't founded by Junipero Serra, though.
No, it was founded later. Let's see. I think it was about, it was later, the end of the 18th century.
I think it was 1798.
1798, yeah. Exactly, right. Yeah, it was founded by the Franciscans. Later on, the successor of St. Sarah as Father Mission of the Father President of the Missions was San Fermin Lasuen, and he was the second Father President of the Missions. He founded this San Luis Rey de Francia, which is called the King of the Missions. It's a beautiful, very wonderful mission, but a little bit later. All the missions, you know, were rebuilt. We don't have much of the original, really very small mud churches of the original mission days, but all of them were rebuilt, some of them in the 19th century and many of them in the 20th century as well, when this preservation effort for the missions became very important for California.
Stephen, when we come back, I think I want to touch on that a little bit. I want to get a few more stories about the missions as you go up the coast, and then I want to hear a little bit more about how people can benefit from this book. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we'll be right back.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you from the beautiful offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, and we're broadcasting to you today from high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today has been Stephen Bintz, who is a Catholic writer and speaker who has written a multitude of books, I think over 50. Is that right, Stephen?
That is right, yes.
And has led many pilgrimages both in the United States but also abroad into the Holy Land and other areas. And Stephen has been kind enough to guide us through a little bit of information that's from this book that he's written called St. Junipero Serra's Camino. Now, the word Camino there refers to the road itself. Tell me just a little bit about that, because I want to go up the coast a little bit, too. That's the road you want to take, right?
Yeah, the Camino in Spanish simply means the way or the road. The El Camino Real means the royal way, which is the way through the Spanish colonial areas. And so so I entitled this book, St. Junipero Serra's Camino, because it really is a new American pilgrimage way. And as we go through from one mission to another, breathing in the spirit of our new American saint, it really is like the ancient caminos, the ancient pilgrim ways, whether that be in the Holy Land or the famous Camino de Compostela in Spain. This Camino is our American Camino, and probably the most important of the pilgrimage ways in North America.
Now, if we were to head up the coast, what are some of the missions that stand out in your memory as being perhaps the most beautiful or the most important that you saw above Southern California?
Well, I mentioned Carmel, San Carlos Borromeo de Carmel, which is where Serra spent most of his life and where he is buried. So that's a very important mission for a pilgrimage way. Just north of there is San Juan Bautista, St. John the Baptist mission, which is subtitled The Mission of Music. And before the break, I was talking about that wonderful barrel organ and the importance of music in the missions. So not only this mission, but many of the others have a lot of musical archives in their museums.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm fascinated by. Yeah. My wife is a professor of music at the university here in Louisiana. So she and I find ways in which our two disciplines parallel one another. So I'm always fascinated by music. Music of the Bible and music of the missions. Another one of my favorite places going up further north is Santa Clara. On the campus there of Santa Clara is the original mission.
Wow.
And it's run by the Jesuits now, who have that university. It's the only one of the 21 missions run by Jesuits. And then another one up in San Francisco, of course, is Mission San Francisco, St. Francis of Assisi, also known as Mission Dolorosa, which is the Dolorosa, or the Sorrowful Mother's River that runs through there. And it attached to it is the beautiful Basilica of the mission. So those are some of my favorites. I might mention as you go up north into the wine country, although I know that there's some very fine wineries in Southern California too.
But, there are.
But the whole wine industry of California began in the mission. The missionaries, you know, taught the native peoples how to grow vines of grapes, how to ferment the grapes, and to make some very fine wine. So in these missions and in the museums are lots of wine storerooms and wine equipment for making wine, and even some of the offshoots of some of the original vines.
Wow.
And so whenever you have a glass of California wine, you think about the missions and the beginnings in missionary times.
I know that in San Diego, as well as the Temecula Valley, all the way up through La Cienega Valley here in Southern California, we have some wonderful wines, not just the ones that are up in Napa and Sonoma. I want to talk for a moment about your book, then. This book, which has just come out this year, is really kind of an introduction to Sarah himself. With, as you said, you revisited some of the most important materials on him to give a better snapshot from a modern perspective of what he was all about, and taking into account some of the controversies in order to lay straight what really happened. But it's really a short essay, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go into some of the material on the missions themselves. So tell me, there are a lot of books out there that are on the missions. There are a lot of books out there that can be travel guides. Why is your book, why is it so special?
Well, it's a pilgrimage guide. And I wanted that to be very different than a travel guide. Because, you know, a travel guide is simply information about the places and how to get there and what to do. A pilgrimage guide leads a person into the whole spiritual experience of going to these places. Becoming a pilgrim means, you know, to go to external places, to see them, to experience them, to be in these tangible places, while at the same time something interior is going on within us. You know, the whole Christian life is pilgrimage. So whenever we go on pilgrimage, we always think about what's going on interiorly, how we are going on an interior pilgrimage, which mirrors the external pilgrimage that we're on. And so in this book, I help the pilgrim then to experience that. So I talk about the places, the history of the places, information about the places, but I also guide the traveler in an understanding of the spirit of the place. And as I said earlier, I have a prayer service for praying, either as an individual or as a group in each of these places. And I talk about the biography of the patron saint of each of the missions. And so I try to capture the spirit of the place and how a person can make pilgrimage a truly transforming experience.
I'm looking, for example, on your section on Mission San Juan Capistrano, which, of course, is very near and dear to us since we just this last year had Father Junipero Serra made a saint, and this is one of the most beautiful missions around. I'm looking, you've got just a couple of pages that talk about the mission itself, and then you have a couple more pages that talk about some of the things about it, like the mission bells or the mission church, and then you have this prayer service that lasts, again, for a couple of pages, and it's very nice. And then you've got a few other things to look at while you're there, other nearby sites like the Mission Basilica San Juan Capistrano, Christ Cathedral, which happens to be where we're broadcasting right now. This is a very nice little package, this little book. So I'm very glad that you've had a chance to talk to us a little bit about this. Is there any one thing that you learned while you were putting this together that you think our listening audience would really like to hear?
Well, I grew in my love for pilgrimage. We can do pilgrimage in all sorts of ways. Pope Francis, in the recent Holy Year, the Jubilee Year of Mercy, made it possible for Catholics all over the world to go on pilgrimage in their local areas. You know, either the cathedral church or some particular shrine in their diocese was designated a pilgrimage spot so that people could go on pilgrimage and not have to spend too much money or travel too far away. The same is true for all of us, particularly those of you who live in the west coast of the United States, and particularly the beautiful state of California, you can go on pilgrimage to all of these missions. And I grew in my appreciation of pilgrimage and the power that pilgrimage has, you know, particularly for us as Catholics. I think because we are an incarnational religion, we are a sacramental religion, places and things that we can see and touch and experience tangibly become means for that internal change and transformation that God is always wanting to act in our lives. So pilgrimage has always been, throughout the whole history of Christianity, a very important and wonderful way to experience God's transforming power within us.
Well, the name of the book is Saint Junipero Serra's Camino, A Pilgrimage Guide to the California Missions, and the author is Stephen J. Binz, B-I-N-Z, who has been with us today talking about Junipero Serra, the missions, and his experience in writing this book. I want to thank you, Stephen, for coming on and being with us on Orange County Catholic Radio. Would you be so kind as to lead our listening audience in a brief word of prayer?
I'd be happy to. Let us pray. Good and loving God, we thank you for the beauty of the world that you've given to us. We thank you for our lives and the calling that we have received from your Son, Jesus, to be holy people, to be missionary people. We ask you to stir up within us a deep missionary spirit, to be instruments of your gospel in our homes, in our schools, in our places of work. Wherever you have placed us, we pray that we might be recognized as followers of your Son, Jesus, wherever we are. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Once again, you're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Stephen J. Binz, who wrote St. Junipero Serra's Camino, A Pilgrim's Guide to the California Missions, and that is now available out in bookstores. I want to thank all of you for listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and I will see you again next week.
Hello, this is Jim Hooper, 2016 nominee for St. Joseph Radio Man of the Year. I'm excited to let you know that the 2017 Man of the Year dinner is coming up on March 18th. The deadline for submission is March 1st, and it's an encouragement to all Catholic men and Catholics in general to get active and get involved. While all men there were shy about standing out, we all walked away with a renewed sense of excitement about serving the Lord. So please don't hesitate to nominate an outstanding man from your parish or organization. The deadline again is March 1st. For more information, call Sheila at 714-402-6347 or go to the website
www.occatholicman.org. That's occatholicman.org.
Thanks, and we hope to see you at the dinner. God bless. We'll